भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణి జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవింద ముఖాకరోతి వాచాలం పంగోరం గాయతే గిరిం యత్కృపా తమహం వందే శ్రీగురుదినతారిణం పరమానంద మాధవం శ్రీచైతన్యేశ్వరం। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्दस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तिशक्तिकं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 14, Verses 30 to 40. Text 30. सापितत् प्रसन्ना देवा चित्रकेतुर अधारयात् गर्भं कृता द्युतिर देवी कृत्तिकाग्नेर इवात्मजाम्। Translation. As Kritika Devi, after receiving the semen of Lord Shiva from Agni, conceived a child named Skanda Kartikeya, Krita Dyuti, having received semen from Chitraketu, became pregnant after eating remnants of food from the yagya performed by Angira. Text 31. Tasya anudinam garbha shuklapaksha ivodupa vardveshurasenasha tejasa shankair nripa. Translation. After receiving semen from Maharaj Chitraketu, the king of Shurasena, Queen Kritadyuti gradually developed in her pregnancy. O King Parikshit, just as the moon develops during the bright fortnight. Text 32. Atha kala upavritte kumara samajayata janayan shurasenanam shrinvantam paramam mudam. Translation. Thereafter, in due course of time, a son was born to the king. Hearing news of this, all the inhabitants of the state of Shurasena were extremely pleased. Text 33. Hrishto Raja Kumarasya Snatha Shuchir Alankrita Vachaya Vishishto Vashisho Vipra Karayam Ashajatakam. Translation. King Chitraketu was especially pleased. After purifying himself by bathing and by decorating himself with ornaments, he engaged learned brahmanas in offering benedictions to the child and performing the birth ceremony. Text 34. Tebhyo Hiranyam Rajatam Vashyam Abharanayananicha Graman Hayan Gaja Pradat Dhenunam Arbhudani Sat. Translation. Unto the brahmanas who took part in the ritualistic ceremony, the king gave charity of gold, silver, garments, ornaments, villages, horses and elephants, as well as 60 crores of cows, 600 million cows. Text 35. Vavarsha kaman anya yesham parjanya iva dehinam dhanyam yasyasyam ayusham kumarasya mahamanaha. Translation. As a cloud indiscriminately pours water on the earth, the beneficent King Chitraketu, to increase the reputation, opulence and longevity of his son, distributed like rainfall all desirable things to everyone. Text 36. Krishra labde tarajase tanaye nudinam pitu yathani swasya kricharpate kripchapte dhane sneho nyavardhata. Translation. When a poor man gets some money after great difficulty, his affection for the money increases daily. Similarly, when King Chatraketu, after great difficulty, received a son, his affection for the son increased day by day. Text 37.
मातुस्त्वातिरतं पुत्रे स्नेहो मोह समुद्भवा कृताध्येता सप्तिनीनां प्रजा कामाज्वरो भवात्.
Translation: The mother's attraction and attention to the son, like that of the child's father, excessively increased. The other wives, seeing Kritadyuti's son, were very much agitated, as if by high fevers, with a desire to have sons. Text 38.
चित्रकेतुर अति प्रीतिर यथा दारे प्रजावति न तान्येषु संजान्ये बलम लाल्यतो महाम.
Translation: As Chitraketu fostered his son very carefully, his affection for Queen Kritadyuti increased, but gradually he lost affection for the other wives who had no sons. Text 39.
तह पर्यंतपयान आत्मनाम गर्हयंतो भ्यसूयया अनापत्येन दुखेन रजनास चंदारनेचा.
Translation: The other queens were extremely unhappy due to their being sonless. Because of the king's negligence toward them, they condemned themselves in envy and lamented. Text 40, which is on the board.
धिग् अप्राजं स्त्रियं पापं पत्युश्चागृहसम्मतां सुप्रजाभिः सप्तनीभिः दासीम् इव तिरस्कृताम्. धिग् अप्राजं स्त्रियं पापं पत्युश्चाग्रसम्मतां सुप्राजिभिः सप्तनीभिः दासीम् इव तिरस्कृताम्. धिग् अप्राजं स्त्रियां पापं पत्युश्चाग्रहसम्मतां सुप्रजाभिः सप्तनीभिः दासीम् इव तिरस्कृताम्.
प्रभुजीस्, जिस word by word translation, if you'd like to repeat. Dik, all condemnation. Aprajam, without a son. Striyam, upon a woman. Papam, full of sinful activities. Patyuhu, by the husband. Cha, also. Agrihasammatam, who is not honored at home. Suprajabihi, who have sons. Saptanibhi, by co-wives. Dasim, a maidservant. Iva, exactly like. Tiraskritam, dishonored. Translation: a wife who has no sons is neglected at home by her husband and dishonored by her co-wives, exactly like a maidservant. Certainly, such a woman is condemned in every respect because of her sinful life. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As stated by Chanakya Pandita, Mata yasya grihe nasti bharya cha priya vadini aranyatena gantavyam yatharanyam tata griham. A person who has no mother at home and whose wife does not speak sweetly should go to the forest. For such a person, living at home and living in the forest are equal. Similarly, for a woman who has no son, who is not cared for by her husband, and whose co-wives neglect her, treating her like a maidservant, to go to the forest is better than to remain at home. I would like to seek blessings from all the assembled Vaishnavas so that I may be able to glorify Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you. I will read the translation one more time. A wife who has no sons is neglected at home by her husband and dishonored by her co-wives, exactly like a maidservant. Certainly, such a woman is condemned in every respect because of her sinful life. This particular section, this 10 verses, it mainly focuses on one aspect, and that aspect is envy. How these queens, who were actually very Vedic, they were wearing silk saris, beautiful perfumes, very nice ornaments, gold jewelry. They were actually very civilized. They actually heard Vedas. They were actually worshipping the deities. They actually took instructions from the Brahmanas. These were very, very Vedic women. And in this particular section of these 10 verses, we are seeing that they are starting to feel this great envy in the heart. It is said that no person has ever become happy by being envious. And this particular section proves that, because we are later going to see what actually happens. And I'm not going to tell you all the story today. And this major point about envy reflects in our life. What is relevant to us is about our attitude in Krishna consciousness. And what we can learn here is that if we are not satisfied, just like these ladies, they had palaces, they had the best servants, they had everything. And you know, to be honest, frankly, they're exaggerating the whole thing here. They're still in the palace. The king didn't, Chitraketu didn't throw them out on the street to beg. They still have the opulence of the palace life, but still the internal envy is burning from within. And they're unable to remain satisfied. They're unable to focus. Envy, it is said that it is like drinking poison and then expecting that the other person will die. This is exactly what these co-wives, the queens, are doing here. And it becomes so intense, the drinking poison becomes so intense. They are so frustrated with their karma. They cannot accept their karma. We've been going janma mrityu jara vyadi, how many times, millions and millions of times. Still, that desire to enjoy. And when the enjoyment is not given, what these queens are doing? They are complicating their karma even more. Does it solve anything what they're going to do? Do you know what they're going to do, right? They're going to kill this child which is just born now. So this is the extent of what envy can do when it actually rises from the heart. And it has nothing to do with external circumstances. That is what we can learn from here. And when we complicate our karma more and more, because envy, it is a very subtle thing. We may actually be dressed like these queens, very nice, beautiful tilak, best kanti malas, best mahaprasadam garland. But then our heart may be pounding with this envy. Oh, this person said this, you know, and this other person didn't look at me, or whatever. All these kinds of regret, we keep it in our heart. How long are we going to keep this? Actually, we've been keeping it for lifetimes. And we could get into this mentality of complaining. Oh, I don't have this. It's like they're doing here in these verses. Oh, I don't have a child. She has a child. And this is materialistic mentality. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj, very beautifully, there's a verse. Tat sadhu manye suravarya dehinam sada samudvigna dhiyana sadgrihat hitvatma patam grihamanda kopam vanam gato yad dharimashrayeta. So in this, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, one who has accepted this temporary material body and the temporary household life, they are doomed, definitely doomed, to be under extreme anxiety. Because this andakopam, this materialistic attachment to family life, is like dark well where there is only suffering. What is that suffering? This envy. You can see, I don't have this, I want this. And so what Prahlad Maharaj is recommending is, vanam gato yad dharimashrayeta. Go to the forest. Vanam. You see, even here there is the vanam verse Prabhupada actually says in the purport. Similarly, for a woman who has no son, who is not cared for by her husband, they should go to the forest, because it is better than to remain at home. We will get close to what means forest, because nowadays it's hard to find a real forest to go there. We will discuss in a short while what actually forest means. But this vanam is actually very important relevance verse. Word. To go to the forest, basically vana. Vana basically means also the samuha of devotees, to be able to go into the association where this suffering, this sada samudvigna means constant anxiety, when that is not there. And where is that place? That is the association of devotees. Otherwise, and we start to, I'm sorry, but even among devotees, I'm getting to the uncomfortable part now. We start to bring that same mentality we had with the karmis, and we start to compare ourselves with the devotees. What is she thinking? What is it? How am I looking good? We start wearing masks. We start pretending to be devotees externally. I pretend to be in the palace, kshatriya women, well trained in the Vedas. We could start pretending like that. We may have all the symbols of Vaishnavism, but if we don't connect deeply to that sincerity, then Prahlad Maharaj says another verse. He's actually pointing to the materialistic people, but I'm going to refer to this verse as a materialistic mentality that remains in us. Matirna Krishne Paratasvatova Mito Bipadyeta Grihavratanam Adhanta Gobir Vishatanta Misram Punah Punah Charvitam Charvananam. So this is a beautiful verse which Prahlad Maharaj is describing, how this uncontrolled senses of these persons who are engaged and have taken a vow of grihastha life, this is my life, this is my identity, I'm going to be the enjoyer, I'm the controller. These people, what is actually happening is, they are progressing towards hellish conditions. And punah punah charvitam charvananam, they're chewing the chewed. It's already chewed, and again we are chewing it. What does that mean? Means that lifetime after lifetime, we are are fostering this mentality, we are cultivating this mentality of kama, krodha, lobha, madha, matsara, greed, lust, envy, anger, and then we get entangled more and more. And then in the same verse, Krishna, Krishne na mati, what's the matir na Krishne? So for these kind of people who are engaged in this way, the real Krishna consciousness is never aroused. Even regardless of good instructions other people give, it doesn't go inside, nor by our own intelligence or endeavor. Why? Because this bhakti lata bij, this seed of devotion which is in our heart, is surrounded with weeds, weeds of envy, weeds of anger, weeds of material desires basically. And then it makes us come back again and again, again and again. It's not the first time. There is a beautiful song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur where he actually helps us to introspect. Dushta mana tumi kise ra vaishnava, dushta mana tumi kise ra vaishnava. Oh cruel mind, what kind of Vaishnava are you? So this is a point of introspection we all should come at one point in life. My experience is that personally for me, I went through this whole stage of trying to be superficially among the devotees and trying to be Krishna conscious, and at one point there was like this particular introspection, what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is asking to the mind, what kind of a Vaishnava are you? There's a point in life that we start kind of asking ourselves, what am I doing? Am I really progressing? What kind of association am I in? What kind of consciousness am I actually progressing towards? We actually start to ask this, and that's when actually we can start having the transformation. That's when we can actually deepen our faith and go to the forest. And what is the forest? Is the association of devotees. And what association of devotees? I actually want to read something. Let me open this. Because if we just consider, an animal. Didn't he? Yes. Did he actually attain perfection? He went to the forest just as recommended by the Shastra. Vanam gato yad dharim ashrayeta, take shelter of Lord Hari in the forest. Actually Prabhupada translates that Vanam gato yad dharim ashrayeta. Vanam means specifically Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness is spoken. In this way we can get absorbed. So we have to be very careful not to make the mistake of Bharat Maharaj. In other words, just renouncing is not enough. We have to be in the right association. Otherwise, we can see the example of Bharat Maharaj. He became attached to the deer, and then he had to be born as a deer. I mean, that was a good story. It was a good ending. Okay, one lifetime as a deer and another lifetime as a human being, and somehow he remembered Krishna and then he went back to Godhead. But it's not always that easy. It gets very, very complicated, as we can see in this story where the queens are complicating more and more. In the Bhaktya Loka, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the section of Prajalpa says something very interesting. Talking without reason about other people is extremely adverse to devotional service. Many people talk about others to establish their own reputation. Being envious, some people are accustomed to discuss others' character. Actually, this was a eye-opener for me. When I actually got in touch with this verse, one devotee who was actually helping me, guiding me, was referring to this verse, and I was actually surprised. Wow, it makes so much sense. No wonder that I'm not feeling very enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness, because all these weeds of listening about other people and contemplating, listening to the gossips, talking about this person and that person, maybe not directly criticism, but still it can encourage the growth of this envy which is inherent in us, that envy which brought us down to this material world. It can actually damage us very much. So we have to choose carefully the association. Otherwise the discussions may not be actually based on Krishna, but it's actually something else, and we're thinking we're in the association of devotees and it's all about me, mine, my complaints. Oh, the prasadam was not good. Oh, you know, this devotee doesn't do his service properly. All this, all that. Oh, my shoe is slippery. Oh, the water is everywhere. Oh, the smell. Oh, the this. Oh, the that. And that's our conversation. 90% of our conversation with association with devotees is taken over by such things. Because good association is not very cheap. It's very expensive. Means we need like mind control, and we also need to choose. And I'm not saying this like just like that. There is this beautiful purport by Srila Prabhupada in the third canto. Prabhupada says, one who approaches the Supreme Lord to surrender devotional service, but who's proud of his personality, envious of others, or vengeful, is in the mode of anger. He thinks that he's the best devotee. Devotional service executed in this way is not pure. It is mixed and is of the lowest grade. Tamaso. Now it gets interesting about association. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur advises that a Vaishnava who is not of good character should be avoided. A Vaishnava is one who has taken the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the ultimate goal of life. But if one is not pure and still has motives, then he is not a Vaishnava of the first order of good character. One may offer his respects to such a Vaishnava because he has accepted the Supreme Lord as the ultimate goal of life. But one should not keep company with such a Vaishnava who is in the mode of ignorance. Sometimes we are faced by such conversations we don't want to enter, but then maybe people throw garbage on us, spit poison, criticize devotees. They may be very nicely dressed as Vaishnavas, but what they are talking may actually be contaminating us. So it is actually, this is my personal realization in life, it is better to have one good friend, one good association, like a mentor or guide who can give you the right association of 10 nice Vaishnavas, devotees, than to have many, many, many different devotees, and then we hear different kinds of things, different kinds of thoughts, different priorities, different complaints that they are going through, and then we actually become very disturbed and perturbed. I mean, that was just a personal realization that I had. There is one more instruction in the Shastra to be able to deal with this point about envy, or to deal with this point of the lamentation, this shoka, you know, it's tamas, tamasic. Shoka means lamentation. And the lamentation is in the mode of ignorance. And ignorance causes us to glide down. And what is actually happening in the case of these queens is they went so much into lamentation, and then they became so degraded that it turned into envy, and that envy made them kill a small boy. Imagine what is going to happen to these queens. I don't know, hundreds of lifetimes, maybe they will be aborted before they are born, hundreds of lifetimes perhaps. So we need to kind of deal with this properly. And one of the key elements is the attitude towards Vaishnavas. Because like we read, there are different levels of Vaishnavas, so we have to choose accordingly and deal with the superiors carefully, with respect, in the mood of service, to not become too close but serve them with humility. And with the equal devotees who are like-minded, you become friends with them, you deepen association, you help each other. And then with the devotees who are lower or inferior than us, we are kind with them, we are gentle with them, but at the same time, we, if they are creating poisonous, toxic thought process that can touch us, we should avoid that association. One more important verse that comes to mind is Prahlad Maharaj. He actually tells Narsingadev, when Narsingadev appears, he's actually telling Narsingadev that, I'm actually not afraid. I'm not afraid of all these anarthas. More or less, he's saying like that. He's saying, Naivo dvije para duratyaya vaitaranyas. I'm not actually afraid of this Vaitarani river. Why? This is the point I want to conclude the class with. Tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chitta. Tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chitta. Basically means, I'm so absorbed in singing your glories, Lord Narsingadeva. I'm so absorbed. Magna chitta means so focused, so absorbed, that my only concern is for these rascals and fools who are maya sukhaya bharanudvahato vimudhan. They're so foolish. They're carrying this maya sukhaya. They're carrying this so-called happiness of maya, of all these illusions. I'm only concerned for them. But for me, tadvirya gayana rasamrita magna chitta, I'm absorbed. Do we have that experience? Sometimes when we are very absorbed, we are in love with our Guru Maharaj, we are in love with Krishna, then so many other things doesn't really touch us. And that kind of association, when you feel that, when we feel that, wow, with this person I'm thinking about Krishna, with this person, you know, there's no garbage around. There's no toxic, there's no poison, there's no weeds, but my bhakti lata bij is actually trying to sprout up. That's the kind of association we should actually be in. And to do that, we need right attitude. And what is that attitude? Attitude of gratitude. Because the opposite of envy is gratitude. Because if we are grateful, oh, thank you, Krishna, that I have a roof on my head. Oh, thank you, Krishna, I still have a body that I can walk, I can talk, I can sing, I can read. Thank you, Krishna, for the wonderful guru I have. Thank you for letting me stay in the dham. Thank you for giving me so much facilities to advance in Krishna consciousness. If we think one side is this extreme of the queens of exaggerating their lamentation and going really like tamoguna. Another side is this attitude of gratitude, which can actually help us remember all the little things and the big things that Krishna has actually blessed us with. And then our life will never be the same if we actually count that. And because of preparing for this class, when I sat here, I just started to think, wow, what a great fortune to be actually talking about Srimad Bhagavatam. Wow, what a great fortune to be reading these verses. Wow, what a great fortune to be remembering great personalities. So when we tune in, you know, the tuning of like a radio station or something, even YouTube, for example. How many of you use YouTube here? Have used YouTube? YouTube? Really? I don't believe that. Okay, so when you go on YouTube, whatever you looked earlier, it will suggest you, why not this one, the other one? You know, there is like the temptation. One time maybe you watch some movie song of a Krishna song, but movie song. You watch and then it will suggest you, why don't you watch this other movie? You know, it's fantastic. It shows this. So it's like we have to tune in properly what we want to watch, because the mind is, you know, Arjuna says, chanchala hi mana Krishna, mind is very flickering, wants to jump here, wants to jump there, monkey mind, like a monkey, wants to jump. So if we don't tune in, then we get lost. So that's the conclusion, that to overcome envy, we need an attitude of gratitude. We need to choose our association carefully and not just be influenced by anything that comes around. And we should be absorbed. Magna chitta. As much as possible, we should be absorbed. So, thank you very much. We have 5 minutes and we can take some comments or questions. Hare Krishna. Any comments, questions? Yes, Srimati Mataji. Can we have the mic? I cannot hear you. It is said in the scriptures that the so-called inferiors. Yeah.
So, if I'm not wrong, in the scriptures it said that with the inferior, so-called inferior, we should be compassionate, right? So, I mean, because you said that we should avoid them. So I would like you to discuss
okay,
about this.
Okay, thank you.
Just another question about the fact that any way to feel superior, I don't think is a very good Vaishnava attitude.
Thank you. So she brought up two main points. One point is when I mentioned that with the inferiors, we actually should be compassionate but also avoid their association. So she's saying how those two contradictory things, you know, be compassionate, avoid, how does it go together? So that's the first question. And the second question is, how do you put it? Yeah, like she means to say that how can, as a devotee, because the attitude of devotee is always humble, so how can you put yourself superior? How can you think I am superior, right? That's your question. Valid question. So for the first question, they're not contradictory. Being compassionate and avoiding the association, they can go well together. Because, I mean, we can be compassionate, but if your neighbor brings garbage every day in the morning and puts at your door, you can compassionately say this is not good for you because, you know, you're disturbing someone else. Even if I'm lower Vaishnava than you, putting your garbage in front of my house is not a very nice thing to do. You can be compassionate and tell this to them. And at the same time, compassion has a very deep meaning. Compassion is not just tolerating any nonsense that anybody does. Who says that that is compassion? Compassion basically means trying to see that the other person is also benefited. Is it beneficial for the person to bring garbage and put it in front of your house? Or spit poison? I mean, poison basically meaning talking about criticism or offenses or always lamentation, always complaints. This is toxic. It's like poison. So if somebody is talking like this, immediately you think this is not good for the person because it's contaminating. No, poison is poison. It contaminates the person who emits it and the person who takes it. It's like smoking. Somebody is smoking, it affects them and the people who are around them. So it's compassionate to tell them, please, you know, it's better you don't smoke. Even if you want to, don't do it with me, in front of me. So I don't see it contradictory. Does that help you? Okay, so then the second question comes about whether we should consider ourselves superior. Okay. No, we shouldn't consider ourselves superior. At the same time, we should discriminate. We should discriminate and see, is this anukula? Is it helping my devotional service? Is this favorable for me or not? There's nothing wrong in discriminating. You may not say, oh, this person is inferior. That already means, yes, it's true, it's not a good thing to do. At the same time, we need to protect ourselves, protect our consciousness, and not let our devotional service be ruined by them. And another point I wanted to say is, it's not always those who are inferior than us emit toxins. There may be, it's like, you know, the rose has its thorns. So sometimes devotees may be amazing, wonderful, but they may have a certain something from some scars from their previous life that even though they may be very senior than us, more experienced, more advanced, more absorbed, sometimes they may say things which don't make sense. They may say things that is not in alignment with the scriptures or your guru. So we need to be very careful. You know, actually, I was hearing somewhere, it was a class, that in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, when we are like still trying to develop faith, strong faith, we cannot just go by feelings. Oh, everybody, yes, embrace, yes, very nice. You have to be a little bit, use your intelligence, use the brain, you know, try to start things carefully. Then, of course, when we progress is different, but we should be very careful. That was the point. Does it help? Thank you. Yes, Vakreshwari Mataji, can we?
Krishna, thank you so much for the class. According to the Svaras, if a woman neglected by her husband and also dishonored by the co-wives, then her life is sinful. Can you please explain why here life named sinful life in this case?
We are in this material world because we have been sinful, okay? To just start off with this. But it is not only place, but there are a few places where it is mentioned about for grihastha life, there has to be children, otherwise it's not fruitful. Like a tree without a fruit is not... According to my understanding, this is karma kanda understanding. This is basically about the Vedic rules and regulations in terms of karma kanda. But when we're talking about devotional service, that's the whole point. We accept whatever it is, how much ever sinful activities we have done. There's a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, right? Manas deho geho jo kichu mor arpilo tua pade nanda kishor. And then in that song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur goes on explaining, even all my anarthas, in death, in suffering, in all this karma things, but still I will consider you as my Lord. There was actually one more. Let me see if I find it. So basically the understanding is that we do have a baggage of karma. Sometimes, let's say, like, there are people who want to get married and have children, but the plan doesn't go according to their desire. Maybe they cannot get married or they cannot have children. What are you going to do? Yes, okay, it's not so nice in terms of being fortunate. Karma, speaking in terms of good karma, bad karma. But at the same time, whatever is our situation, we can actually offer it to Krishna. In fact, later on, in the same purport, very interesting points come. And Chitraketu starts to basically lament and say that, you know, it is best to not have children. But it is also good to have children. Because when you have children, you realize how much suffering they will bring. Then you can actually become renounced. So the whole point again comes back to renunciation, surrender to Krishna, whatever helps. That's kind of the mood of the devotee. That's what I understand. But yes, karma kanda level, it's like that in South India. Oh, you didn't get married at this age, you're condemned. Even Srila Prabhupada says very heavy things. If the girl is not married by the time of her puberty, the father has to do something very terrible. I mean, basically he says he has to drink the menstruation blood of the girl, daughter, if she's not married by the time. And that's kind of the karma kanda or the Vedic without Krishna conscious kind of. And here is the same story. The queens, they're Vedic, but they're not Krishna conscious. Because if they were Krishna conscious, okay, I don't have a child. Okay, my husband favors the other wife more. I'll chant Hare Krishna. Right? That would be the attitude of a devotee. But because of this karma kanda thing, then our desires increase. Sometimes people, like in the Dhruva Maharaj section, we see we may kama sarva kamova moksha kamodaradi, whatever, whether we have desires, no desires, we approach Hari. So sometimes we are passionate. We want the desire. We want our desire to be fulfilled. So we do things to get it. some other times, like here, take shelter of tamas, take shelter of ignorant approaches, kill the child. Wow, end of the story. Actually, no, beginning of another new complicated story. Does it help? Not sure. Thank you. So we end here. Thank you so much for your attention and patience. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki.